Corey, Corey, wake up, wake up, wake up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
What?
Come on, it's time to podcast. What? It's time to get on this series of tubes and wires that we call the interwebs and talk to me, Crazy Joe Ryder. And this time you're on the other end of this tubes and wire, old Uncle Rat Bastard. How you doing there, Corey? Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Hey, we don't podcast on Thursdays.
Oh, normally we don't, but we're going to today because it's my birthday. Yes, happy birthday. Wait, we can use that, right? It's royalty free now.
It's a public domain now, yes.
Okay. Happy birthday to me. And this here is a special podcast birthday edition. Why? Because it just so happens it's the only night of the week we got free. And I figured I'd call up my good buddy Corey and roust him out of bed. Wait, why are you in bed so early?
Why are you back from vacation?
Well, you know, it's just a matter of it's actually cheaper to fly anywhere Tuesday to Tuesday. And then I figured Wednesday I'd recover. And then Thursday, since I'm alone and, you know, it's like Dana's busy and Holly's out with her boyfriend. And Chris went out to spend time all alone on my birthday. But I figure I'll wake you up and happy birthday to you. So go and wish me a happy birthday.
Ugh, happy birthday.
Whoa,
I thought I would have tonight free. It's the one night I don't work. So I put on a long YouTube thing. This is the 100 top consoles, of 100 top video game consoles. And I knew that by, you know, 97, I would be asleep.
Now, what did I tell you about thinking?
I
up.
I got to work at the group home for my sleep shift. And I thought, for sure, you know, if I did wake up, I could start my 400-part podcast series.
Nope.
On the joy. Of the Marvel 2-in-1.
Uh-huh.
Did they actually do 2 issues of that? Episode.
How could you? Did they actually do that many?
They did 100 episodes, so I do 4 episodes on each issue.
Oh. And that includes all the annuals and stuff and the weird crossovers.
Oh, wow. That'd be even more.
I know. See, you're not even thinking this. See, it's a good thing I woke you up. You should be shortchanging our dear listeners here. Instead of now, they can listen and revel in the joy of my birthday. And since you mentioned it, because I know you're curious, I'll even regale you of tales of my run to the wilds of there, Florida.
Why don't you do that? I can take a nap.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Well, that's true. But then you won't even get to hear all the fun things I did, like waking up at 4 in the friggin' morning to catch a flight. That is one thing. Anytime you take a flight, the more flexible you are with days and the more flexible you are with hours, the cheaper you can go. So we decided, a footnote to all this, one of the reasons Chris and I snuck in a vacation, because as you know, as part of my hip watch, this is kind of two electric boogaloo. This is the last moments I have before I get to go back to work. And since I have zero sick time and zero holiday pay, I probably won't get to take another vacation other than like short, you know, weekend excursions the rest of the year. So Chris and I are like, well, you know what? Let's just go down to Florida. My folks hibernate there for the Keys. Well, not in the Keys anymore. They used to, but now they're around West Palm Beach, Hobe Sound area. So we thought, well, let's go down. We got a place to stay and there's oodles of things and people to visit. One thing we did do, we did fly into Fort Lauderdale, going through Southwest. And I got to tell you, one of the reasons we did was because it was cheaper to do that and rent a car than it was to just fly into West Palm Beach. And although my folks would pick me up, the advantage of having our own car is we can go do whatever we're going to do. Because, you know, my folks are down there. They're with their friends. They do different things. And Chris and I, you know, much as we love hanging around 80-year-old people, we got things we want to do. I will say two things. People who bitch about TSA security are idiots, because Chris and I, even with my brand new hips, We were through security in like 30 seconds. We got there way too friggin' early. Of course, we were flying Southwest, which out of Minneapolis is T2, which is one of the better terminals to fly out of because there's only like three active airlines going, and there's usually never a big line. So we got through pretty well.
Now, I have a question about airports.
Sure.
I have heard that it used to be, you know, that in airports, it was all fast food.
Yeah.
But lately, they have been adding high-end restaurants.
Oh, yeah. And some of the places you wouldn't necessarily call, how would you say, they're like mid-tier, like Leon Chin's, which is a fabulous takeout Chinese restaurant. They have Smack Shack, where they have like lots of lobster dishes, and tacos, and serve beer, as well as...
If you order the wrong thing, do they smack you?
They should, but they don't. And there's other great places to eat, as well as, you know, a McDonald's, and they've got Chick-fil-A, except on Sunday, and a few other places that are opening up. And Minneapolis, of course, has got, like, they're award-winning in terms of restaurants and places that are open. We went through Terminal 2, though, which is not as award-winning and not as impressive. It did have a Caribou Coffee, so Chris was happy. And I found, I didn't have any Diet Mountain Dew, but I did find a Diet Coke. So we all had our caffeine, and we just kind of sat down. And like I said, the flight was fabulous. One thing with Southwest is they do have this free inter-type web service where you can go on and watch certain cable television shows, or I should say networks. You could listen to music. You could listen to watch movies. I could not get it to work on my first flight. We took a leg flight. The first one was Minneapolis to Baltimore to Florida. And on the first leg of the flight, I couldn't get it to work. On the second leg, I was. So on my phone, along with my Bluetooth headphones, I was able to watch Shazam. Well, sort of. I have never seen Shazam.
Oh! So
it was kind of fun to watch. However, and I don't think this is spoiler territory, I only got, it was supposed to be like a two-hour flight from Baltimore to Florida, but they had a really good headwind. Or something, because tailwind, because they made it there in like an hour and 40 minutes. So I only got to watch probably up to the part where they started fighting in the amusement park towards the end.
Okay.
I did not get to finish Shazam. And one advantage with the way we flew is because now getting there so early, we were able to just take our time getting up to Hope Sound. And I got to tell you, initially, heading north, we started on Highway 1 because I didn't want to take the freeway. I thought, you know, we got some time. We just want to relax. We didn't want to use the turnpike because we didn't want to necessarily pay for it, and we weren't quite sure how. But Highway 1 is the cities blur together. There's just strip malls and chain stores. Again, we went to a place called Shake Shack, which – you know, we're pretty sure it was a chain. I think there's actually two of them in the Twin Cities, but we just didn't want to go to McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, blah, blah, blah. It was like, you know, why am I in Florida and all I'm doing is driving down strip mall central? So we took a tour over to the A1A, which is the one that goes on to like, I don't know what they call them, the reef chains or whatever. That's where the millionaires hang out, where the million-dollar homes and the huge hotels, and the drive is just beautiful. You're going about 30 miles an hour, usually about a two-lane highway. But it was
swimming pools,
oh,
movie stars.
Not necessarily, but we did pass Mar-a-Lago. Trump wasn't there.
Yeah, I hear so, it's a dump.
I don't know, because we couldn't get in. There was a Secret Service person blocking the road. And if you were watching the headlines when before Trump got there, apparently some lady was on like a SUV rampage and actually blew through a couple of the checkpoints that the Secret Service set up before Trump arrived, which is a good way to panic your friendly neighborhood Secret Service. They took a couple shots at her and eventually stopped her. What happens though is the A1A gets blocked. No surprise there. I went to Hawaii and saw the same thing when Obama was there. So the A1A is blocked. You can't go south or north on it. You got to take big detours around it, much to the annoyance of people who actually live there. And when we did go down back into West Palm Beach area, we'll talk about it as we get to it, there were like cops on every corner because there obviously security's rolled out because the president's in town. So, but it was a fun drive. I mean, what was actually more fun is when you started to get away from the million dollar homes and into like the state parks where the growth was just like, you were like going down a tunnel of vegetation, and this is all like palm trees and it's not like anything we have in Minnesota. It was just fantastic. Not a lot of good views of the ocean, but we did find stretches of public beaches, and for, you know, $5, you can park and go anywhere you want. So it was a fun jaunt about Jupiter Inlet, where there was a museum lighthouse, which I had been to years ago. We hopped on Highway 1 and just got up to Hobsbaw, where my folks went. And that's pretty much where we stayed for the first night. And it was kind of fun because not only did we leave Minnesota with their gray cloud cover, although the temp was pretty nice by the time we got to Fort Lauderdale. Oh, it was only about, 70 degrees. Don't hate me. But we stopped in a restaurant at Hope Sound called Scooter's Fun Food and Spirits, which was a lively little bar. Not a lot of chain restaurants we visited as we were there, because I figured, let's just see some of the local fun stuff. Kind of like what you and I talk about, Corey, when we run around here. We like to find some of the out-of-the-way places. Day two in Florida, my folks took me to Butterfly World, which is a nature preserve down in Coconut Creek, Florida, which is a little bit west of Fort Lauderdale. Just beautiful. I mean, they have enclosures with I guess they call them exotic butterflies. And it was kind of interesting because when you walk through here, it's kind of fun. They're floating around. You're not supposed to touch them and bother them. But one thing they do tell you is before you leave that enclave, they have to check you to make sure there isn't a butterfly hitching a ride on you, or in case you're some dummy, tried to smuggle them in your purse. Why would you say they want to double check that? Do you know why, Mr. Strode?
Because some of them are rare species, probably.
And also they're
not indigenous.
Yes. And they would probably really, really screw up the ecosystem. And if any of you know what's going on in Florida, a couple of weeks before they got down into the 30s. Can you believe that? we're out skinny dipping and they're freezing their tuchus off. But, iguanas, which are not indigenous to Florida, were falling out of trees, hibernating. And they were encouraged to grab these sumbitches and kill them. Because they don't belong there, just like pythons down in the Everglades. And although I did hear about one guy who, like, he gathered up like 25 of them because he was going to barbecue them. Apparently a native of Guatemala. This is like a delicacy to them. Unfortunately, you throw them in a car, and the car warms up. And what do you think?
And they wake up.
They did. And, it didn't turn out pretty. I don't know if he ever did eat any. But that was kind of fun, walking around.
So they don't belong there.
No.
It's a lot like me when I go to a dance club.
Apt. Sorry, I've now you've totally derailed me. Oh, so that's what that feels like. Oh, what fun.
we should just probably call this where we're reversing roles.
That works for me.
I'm Jerry the King Lawler. I just show up. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on.
Maybe get the names right if we're lucky.
Yeah.
Wow, he's big.
There's more in Butterfly World. We went through like the insect museum where they actually had a bird eating spider on display. You've seen these things on the interwebs, Corey. Size of dinner plates.
Yes.
Eat birds from Australia. Some black widows, which just I'm shivering now. A lot of, they had some places where it was like this was going to be a hall of vines, but it was all hibernating because, it's winter's there. So, but we spent the day there. A lot of fun. Some beautiful butterfly art. But, it was like only, $700-$800. I'm like, that was day two. Day three, we visited a state park called John D. MacArthur State Park. And what was really cool about it, it was cheap. It was only
And the park will return.
It will. And what happens is it was only like $6 to get in. Now, when you're in there, what was amazing is that it was like two different ecosystems. In the front part closest to the Atlantic, it was like dry scrubland, brush. They had a fort. I can't remember the name, but it was a radar base during World War II and very top secret, very hush hush.
Radar love.
One of these what they talk about is this whole area. They need to burn it occasionally in order for the ecosystem to survive. So you look around, so that's why you see all these burnt trees in that. And there's like rare species of butterflies and frogs and things like that. As you drive into the park, they have one area where you stop and you're allegedly can view an alligator, because apparently a lot of alligators, and that's one thing in Florida, if there's a body of water, there's probably an alligator in it. So don't go in it. But apparently this one alligator made its nest, and you 9 times out of 10, you can go and see her there. But the water had been running pretty good because they had a pretty good rainstorm a couple days before. And we didn't see no alligator. And we didn't stick around to see if the alligator saw us. So we kept moving. Later that day, we visited the beach. They had a hazardous warning out, big waves. I did stand on the beach, let the sand trickle into my feet, and I didn't quite go in all the way because those waves were pretty big, and I didn't know with my hip. I know there was a light guard there, but you know the waves were such that as you go up and down the other side, you're not seen on the other side. They were pretty big. I did. Sad news though.
Oh no! Sad news, everyone. Sad news.
Sad news. I lost my watch, and it was a Timex watch I bought way back when I first joined TSA. It was just a simple $20 watch. It had the outer time, and inside had military time. You press a button, it glows in the dark. Lost at the beach. I honestly thought I put it in my pocket before I changed into my swimsuit, but you know, a little torqued off, but not really. So we did visit the beach. Lest you think I was just all beach, I did go. While Chris was at the beach, I took a run to my first comic shop.
Ooh! Now, it's about time. What?
In between Fort Lauderdale and Orlando, there are about 17 comic shops, and believe me, I had a plan to visit all of them. Chris, on the other hand, had better ideas, the beach being one of them. So I only went to a couple. We were waiting for my dad to return. He had taken off while we were at the beach. And so I told my wife, you know, I'm going to go check out some of these comic shops. The first one I visited was a cool little stall called Da Vinci's DreamWorks 2. 1504 Northeast Jensen Beach, Florida in Jensen Beach, Florida. And this was a neat little shop, very small, maybe little bigger than Crazy Comics, but it was brightly lit. They had new comics on one side, games on the other, some toys. I saw a few things, but I didn't really see anything I wanted to buy because it was mostly new comics. They must have had just enough comics on the shelf. Didn't see any real signs of back issues except on the floor, and it was all newer stuff. This would be cool if for like that neighborhood for gaming and things like that. The guys were very friendly. They were talking games as I was walking through. Like I said, didn't buy anything. I did take off after that, and I was trying to find another shop called Collector's Comics, which I was more excited for because it's one of those shops that had been there forever. But I found their old location because Google, that when you Google comic shops, that's what comes up as their old location. And it says comics and has a Captain America print in the door. Looks like they must have painted it because they left it behind, because there ain't nothing else in that store, folks, except, hey, we've moved to this address, 8442 Highway 1. I'm sorry, 8449. The reason I remember that is because when I put that in my Google, it brought me to 4889, and I couldn't find it. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I'm going to call and see if I can find them because they're on Highway 1. Again, This is back on Highway 1 where it's chain stores and strip malls. And so you got to really know where you're going. What was nice is that we got to rent a BMW. I felt kind of funny driving a car, Corey, that costs more than your and my house together. But I do got to tell you, oh, is that a nice car. This thing has luxury upon luxury. Heated seats, lumbar supports, a little tiny shelf for your knees so your knees just aren't hanging there. It had a full online system that I could tap into music systems, which we didn't do a lot of, but it had the maps going where you were. Then on the dash, it had not only a similar display, but without all the streets and that labeled. And it moved as you moved. But also a little tiny thing would pop up and tell you what the speed limit was. Not that you could tell by Florida people. I mean, seriously, when I did get on the 95, I was going about 90 miles an hour. Because if I didn't, I'd have been passed like crazy. Speed limit 45. Well, if you're doing 65, you're doing good. You are allowed to take U-turns in Florida. And the correct way to take a U-turn is to take a U-turn, get into the right lane, and then accelerate. So you make your U-turn, but you're not necessarily blocking traffic. With the Beamer, I was able to not only take a sharp U-turn and stay in the lane closest to me, but I could accelerate so freaking fast, you never caught me. Oh, just a beautiful car. Look, I'm drooling thinking about it. And kudos to BMW for tempting me. Kudos to Enterprise, who we got the car from. It was, again, another easy process. Just pick up the car. Same thing when dropping off. And that's really, really how it should be. So when I'm busting my around in Florida here, just think of me in a Beamer. And it did have Florida plates, so I didn't care what anybody thought of me driving. And you believe me, yeah.
Gator as you drove.
I can say one of the highlights of my trip, I did finally get a super big Golf from 7-Eleven.
I saw that.
And you know, people are laughing. I hear you laughing, but you got to remember, we don't have 7-Elevens up here in Minnesota. So to have an official big Gulp. I mean, yeah, right here, I've got my big, this is my Polar Pop from Circle K. Not the same. The next day was probably one of the highlight of the trip, other than the whole trip itself. Corey, guess who I got to run into in Orlando?
Turbo.
Exactly. My good buddy, Eric Jackman, the master and the Padawan together again. And boy, let me tell you, cloud covered Florida all day because they knew the dark side of the force had gathered together. I ran up to talk with Turbo. His daughter joined us for dinner. His wife couldn't, unfortunately. His daughter, not only had she been at Crazy Comics years ago, you know, when she was knee high, now she's like 15. And Corey, you've seen it where your friend's kids grow up and now you feel old because how did they get so big? Not yet. Never happened to you.
No,
never. But she is.
None of my friend's kids live.
Oh, no. You remember Dana, Holly, all of them. Yeah. Oh,
they've always been the age they are now.
Yes. Anyway, she's just smart. She's bright. What I loved is when, like, my kids used to bring their friends home and I would joke with them. And a lot of them would be like, here's an adult talking to me. But she held her own. She draws. She knows manga. Heck, we may have to tap her one of these days since Linda never wants to come on the show. So maybe we'll tap her for our Turbo's kid to come on the show and talk manga. But I did ask Turbo, take me someplace you enjoy that I would never find on my own. He took me up to St. Cloud, where he used to live, to a place called Cemento Spaghetti House.
Wait. He took you to St. Cloud? That's a heck of a drive from Florida all the way up to St. Cloud. Did you tell our friends Stephanie and Dave?
No, because they were busy in Texas. So, but no, of course, you people in Florida are going, wait a minute. Yes, that was St. Cloud, Florida.
Oh.
Which always throws me off because, you know, you live in St. Cloud. Wait, I thought you moved. Never mind. What was cool about it, because not only is downtown St. Cloud beautiful, but right around the corner from the Spaghetti House was Trouble's Little Sister, which is a collectible comics and anime shop, 1220 11th Street, St. Cloud, Florida. Go to TroubleLittleSister.com, and you can see the place. Another really cool shop. This one did have back issues. They had a lot of toys, an interesting mixture of brand new stuff, including some older stuff. I'm kicking myself because I did not. They had some Babylon 5 figures that I know I have, but I never even looked at the price because I really wanted to see what the price was. And so it was a fun, friendly little shop, just mixed in just beautifully. Didn't hang there too long because, you know, Chris, she's not into comics, you know, and you know, she hung outside. So we took off. We dropped.
Hold on. The spaghetti place you went to.
Yes.
Did they have a bucket of sketty?
No bucket of sketty. Nope.
Nope.
But they did have.
It's not a real spaghetti restaurant unless they sell a bucket of spaghetti.
What do you get when you, what do they call those things? You turn a pizza and you fold it inside out.
The calzone.
Yes. I ordered a calzone. Oh my God. It was the size of the, Italian fries we had at Mama's. And that was, I mean, it was like, this is huge. And I mean, I gorged myself on their bread that they made and some cheese bread and oh my Lord. So we took some home for my folks, but it was fantastic. We dropped Turbo's kid off, and then Turbo took me to a very, very interesting place. Corey, if you had a comic shop, what do you think would be the coolest thing to put in the back to keep people like Chris entertained?
Booze.
You hit it. How about a bar that serves beer and wine? Exactly. They, in this place called Gods and Monsters, 5421 International Drive, Orlando, Florida. Go to godmonsters.com because in the back they have a bar called Vault 5421, which is the monsters part of God and Monsters. Because you go in there and they have a bar, they have all these horror themes. Chris headed right back there. Turbo headed back there because he visits this place a lot. I spent probably about 40 minutes, maybe an hour going through this place. Yeah, fantastic. They had these displays that were so cool. I wish I'd have thought of them. It's like they have this, slot wall. And then they have these acrylic boxes and where inside everything Thanos or everything Deadpool or everything Transformers, or everything My Little Pony. What a brilliant idea, because you're getting people in here that aren't necessarily comic fans, and they know who Thanos is. They know who My Little Pony is. They know these from mass media. He had a display of Black Widow, so he had Black Widow toys, Black Widow comics, Black Widow graphic novels, maybe some loose figures, maybe some cards, a lot of graphic novels, a lot of toys. One half was games. And I picked up something. I did buy something finally. The first thing I bought on my trip, because I was also very cognizant of the fact that anything I buy, I had to figure out how to get home. And Chris and I packed very light on the way down. But this was just too good to pass up because I kicked myself for not buying it. It was from The Simpsons, 25 of the Greatest Guest Stars Series 4 woohoo figure. Corey, guess which figure I picked up?
I don't know.
Weird Al.
Oh,
that's 90s show, because it was season 19 and it was a parody of a parody singer. Weird Al sang a parody of the parody song made popular by Homer's parody band, who parodied a famous grunge song of a 1990s, a decade that episode parodied. And if what I just read gave you a brain freeze, yes, then you guess the title of Weird Al's fantastically funny food related tune. And this goes right up here, right on my shelf of honor, next to the other Weird Al figure I bought earlier, which I'll give a Joe prize to whoever remembers that, because that was more of the actual real Weird Al, which has a removable head, so you can have his glasses, curly hair, or the goofy long hair. And he's playing his accordion, too. So, yeah, I'm telling you, Corey, if we do another podcast, God forbid.
We will never do another podcast.
Oh, trust me, I got all sorts of ideas. But in seriousness, this is a brilliant idea because you have your stuff in front, and then for the non-comic people, they can sit back and have a drink or two. Just fantastic. Oh. Go to godmonsters.com and check it out. I think of all the places I went to, I was impressed the most. Or was I? The next day, and for those of you that hate history, you can bow out. Chris and I visited the Henry Morrison Flagler Museum. Corey, do you know who Henry Flagler is?
I don't even have a joke.
Do you know who, if I say John Rockefeller, does that ring a bell?
Why, yes, I do.
Well, John Rockefeller said of Henry Flagler that he wishes he had half of his intelligence. I'm paraphrasing. Henry Flagler is basically the brains behind Standard Oil around the Gilded Age. He's the one who came up with the brilliant, or not so brilliant, idea of multi-corporations in different states all under one umbrella, which allowed Standard Oil to get as big as they did and, of course, attract the ire of trust busters everywhere. That was Henry's first career. That's how he made his millions. Do you know, Corey, who James J. Hill is?
He's got a house in St. Paul.
Yes, he is probably responsible for most of the railroads built in St. Paul, Minneapolis, the Great Northern Railway, up north, out south, down to Chicago. Henry Flagler did the same thing for railroads for Florida. Florida, for the most part, when he was, and again, this is turn of the century, 1900, it was mostly swampland. He built a railroad all the way down to Key West. And if you remember that, that's basically across a bunch of islands, including that infamous 7 mile stretch where remains of the 7 mile bridge exist to this day. And upon doing that, he brought enormous economic growth to Florida. And he's probably, if you want to call him, he's like the patron saint of Florida, because not only is everything named for him, this particular museum we visited in Palm Beach, Florida, was his house. And just like James J. Hill House, it's now a museum. Thank God it was saved by his granddaughter, because they wanted to tear it down like they're wont to do and build, I don't know, another boat dock. But it was just, have you ever gone through those types of museums, Corey, where it's like the rich person left it behind? I mean, yes. I can think, like, we got James Hill, we got the Condon Mansion up in Duluth. What do you think when you go through these places, other than wow, or like I did something wrong in my life?
I always wonder why. I'm trying to think of a polite way to say this.
Such opulence.
Yes. Why would someone need this much?
Yeah. And, you know, I think of that, too. Granted, I'm grateful that these museums are around, because it's a brilliant look at what was. It's beautiful housing. And they have what I thought was really cool is you get one of those little handheld things. And as you walk through the museum, you press the button and it will describe to you what you're seeing and what's there. So we spent more time there than I would have expected. And of course, I love it because, you know, Corey, I love trains. And they have his personal rail car, number 91, preserved. So you can go in and walk through it. You know, this is like, even now, you can, if you're rich enough to have a rail car, and, you know, Corey and I aren't, hell, we don't even have a Wikipedia page. But you walk through it. I did buy a little HO replica of his car. I don't know why. I guess I get hung up on things like this, but I just think it's amazing. And if you know anything about your rail history, his rail line that was once called Flagler's Folly was not really called that, because once he completed it, I believe 1902, you could take a train from almost anywhere in Florida down to Key West until 1935, when the first recorded Cat 5 hurricane ripped through the Keys and wiped out the pretty much the whole infrastructure, killing scores of people. Henry had died later, I believe, 1923. It's all on Wikipedia. You can go look it up. But they never rebuilt that portion of the railroad because it just wasn't feasible. By then, the roads had come in. Even to this day, you can go down and you can see the remains of the railroad. His statue stands in West Palm Beach at the very end. So this was a fun historical thing. Much, you know, Chris and I looked at it. It's always on the top. You know, you go to a city, a top 10 things to look at West Palm Beach. His came up on almost every list, and I'm glad we did. So if you get a chance to go down there, check it out. We stopped at a restaurant recommended by an old pal of mine who used to live down there called Harry and the Natives. This is back when we got the Hope Sound, which was really cool. It was wide open, which was kind of weird because it got down to 60. And, of course, for Chris and I, we're like, yeah, this is okay. But everybody else was bundled up pretty intently. I had myself a buttered monkey, which was some type of rum-based drink. They really love their rum down there. So, yeah, I definitely, if you get a chance to visit it, that was a good place to go. We also found a little ice cream shop called Sweetie's Ice Cream Shop, a little bit farther north along Highway 1. Definitely worth picking up. You know, I love mint ice cream, but they had a hot fudge sundae that we went back a couple times to have. You know, my mom would be, I want to go to McDonald's. No, we're going to Sweetie's Ice Cream. Much, much nicer. So, the next day we went to a B&A flea market, and I love going to flea markets. I love going to antique stores, thrift shops. I remember going to this one the last time we visited my folks, and all I remember is running into guys with tons of comics and Hot Wheels and toys. And again, anything I bought, I had to drag home. I went there as well. I found a lot of comics. I bought a huge run of Marvel Fanfare, which I've been trying to find. A couple cars. Hess, I guess, is really big down there. Was that a gas chain or something? But it's like I don't know. It's just every, they're like, here is Hess on this and here is Hess on that. And I bought a Hess 1989 miniature fire truck, as well as a couple other goofy things. A couple videos for a buck. Night Shift. Which is,
I remember that movie.
I do too, I think, because it's got Henry Winkler, Michael Keaton, Shelley Long.
Long is a hooker.
I know. So for a buck. And then what also surprised me is I found the Amazing Spider-Man. The what's his name? I can't read it. Andrew Gardner. Garvey. Thank you. A buck. And these were in a they have one of those clearance areas for libraries. And Corey, you know how you and I, we get to like a shop and you got those rows upon rows of DVDs and we just spend hours looking at them. Yeah. Oh, you'd have loved it because there were a lot of booths like that. I found some really interesting comics. Some of them I'm going to throw on eBay. Some of them I'm going to keep. Some of them I'll read and throw on eBay. I did pick up a book from Pyramid Illustrated History of the Movies, Humphrey Bogart. I love Humphrey Bogart. It's a beat-up book, but for a couple bucks. And then if you can keep a secret, I bought a book by Vince Lombardi of the world champion Green Bay Packers, dated all the way back he wrote it in 1963, but this is the 1968 paperback. Run to the daylight. Corey, run to the daylight. Vince has told you that.
Wait, this is Minnesota. We don't have daylight this time of year.
That's true. So I'm going to give that book to my brother-in-law. So everybody keep it under your hat. So we went back to the beach.
Now I have to wear a hat.
Yeah. Actually, I should say we didn't go back to the beach. We went to it was an art festival. And it was right along the 81A. So they actually had it closed. And It was fun. You know, it's kind of typical of the art festivals we see here and almost typical like at the, I can't say, the MCBF's MSP SpringCon 2020, which will be May 16th and 17th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in the grandstand. If you're a artist or I don't think a dealer tables applications are open yet, but they are taking creator applications. So go to www.mcbacomiccons.com. I'll double check that because I think they might have changed their website. So, but definitely check their Facebook page for sure, which is now Minnesota Comic Book Fans. But, you know, the same thing. You have artists they set up and they're selling their wares. We've had art auctions in town. Not art auctions, art festivals in town. And this was the same thing, just art festivals, a lot of locals. I did see one thing that even to this day I'm wishing I would have bought. And I just this gentleman, and I will talk about him in a future podcast because Chris has his business card. He blows glass and he made the most beautiful wave. It's just gorgeous blue glass. And on the top, it's almost like white crystal. And the smallest of them run about $450. The larger ones are over $1,000. Not huge, but just, I mean, the whole time I was walking the art auction, again with the auction, again, I feel this way at art auctions and art festivals. I wish I had money just to buy something from everybody because there's so much awesome art. Even back at the Butterfly Place, I mentioned that where they made, my guess is was when these exotic butterflies pass away, they save them and they make these huge, beautiful collages of the butterflies, but they only run about $750 to $1,500. You know, I don't have the money or the house to really pull that off, but this wave thing is something I'm thinking about. The reason why is because again, back at the art auction, I would think nothing to drop $400 on a piece of original art that from an artist that I would want or that I would really be impressed with. You know, I'm saving up. One of these days I'll get a Supergirl from Joe Linsner. Adam Hughes is out of my price range. Frank Cho. You know, these are some serious money if you're going to buy a piece of art. I would think nothing of doing that, but I kept thinking about that. That beautiful wave of blown glass. And because he's online, and again, I will, the next podcast, I'll get the card and talk to you about it. But I'm seriously thinking about just calling and say, hey, if you can get it to me in one piece. That was the big thing. I couldn't figure out how to get it in one piece. Chris and I went out to a place called the Flash Beach Grill. Again, I was drinking heavy. I had a Bahama Mama. Only because Chris told me about the last time she was, well, in high school when she was in Florida, she got so sick from drinking Bahama Mamas that she threw up for a whole day. So I was like, I got to have one. I'm thinking about it, but we went off to the beach. Waves were still pretty big. Didn't find my watch. We just hung until the sun went down. And then, of course, it got kind of too cold even for us. You know, at the beach, 60 degrees. Yeah, no sun, but it was fun. It was relaxing. I had to be reminded there was this thing called a bowl of what? I don't even remember what it was called. Did you watch this foosball game?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was a very good game. It was close all the way down to the end. I thought it was booked. The booking was excellent, man. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers were pure heels in the third quarter, where they were just, you know, beating down our babyface Kansas City Chiefs. But just like a good babyface should do, they rallied at the end for the win.
How are the commercials?
I don't watch commercials.
Oh, these are worth. That's the only thing worth watching. No, actually, we didn't bother.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, you got to watch the commercials. Why do I want to watch commercials?
Because they usually what they do is they bring out it was a Jeep ad that had Bill Murray doing Groundhog
Day. Facebook 2 days before.
Yeah. Well, no, it all is. But see, I don't. Dude, I was on vacation. Other than showing off where I was, I didn't really clock a lot of time on Facebook. Actually, I didn't even watch the first half of the Super Bowl. I went to another restaurant called Tutto Italiano down in Stuart, Florida. And again, it was, I mean, this is an authentic Italian restaurant. These guys were friendly. It was funny watching them watch the Super Bowl, talking to each other in Italian. Outstanding meal, outstanding wine. I didn't drink because I was driving. Chris and my dad had a lot. My mom didn't want to go because I think she just wanted to watch. She actually wanted to watch the Super Bowl. But we did get back in time to watch the Faces win the Super Bowl. And while I got to say we didn't, I really don't care much about the game. But when it's a close game, but you see, my problem is I think about, like there was this peanut strip where Linus was like watching the game. He's, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Oh, he runs out. Charlie Brown, you couldn't believe that. Watch this amazing football game. They'd come from behind. It was down to the last minute. And then they intercept. They ran into field goal. Oh, it was so incredible. They were on the field. They were cheering. They were happy. Oh, so happy they won the Super Bowl. I'm like Charlie Brown. Huh. How'd the other team feel?
They felt rich.
Oh, I don't know. They didn't look rich. Anyways.
They made a hell of a lot of money for that game.
Well, they didn't get the ring. But trust me, looking at the long faces, I don't think at that particular moment they were thinking, I got paid for it.
And then a week later when the check shows up.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, I don't know. I think right now they're probably all going out, I better go sign up for that XFL and get better.
No.
Okay.
How much the XFL players get.
Now, I do got to say, I did get to visit one comic shop that was South Florida's largest comic book chain. And it's called Past, Present, and Future. They've been in place for over 30 years. Three locations, and the one I visited was in West Palm Beach. 1387 North Military Trail. Go to www.ppfcomics.com. This was the comic shop I wanted to go to. Corey, you'd have loved it. Lots of toys, including things all the way back from when, like, I had the comic shop, those type of toys. Lots of new stuff, lots of manga, lots of back issues, lots of graphic novels. Every time you turn a corner, there was something new. The place was full, people were friendly, and they had about 50 long boxes of half-price graphic novels. Oh, I was like, oh, I got to stop there first. I mean, I ran through, I called Holly at home, and she picked up, and she... sadly, I had all the essentials they had. They had a whole thing full of essentials. And I do got to check because I'm not sure if I have the Rawhide Kid one or not. But they had one. And if they have it, I'm going to call them and see if I can get it. I started going through the back issues. And then my lovely wife had all she can stand. She can't stand no more. So I grabbed, I lucked out. I found volume 1 and 2 of Assimilation Squared, the Star Trek Next Generation Doctor Who crossover from IDW, which I believe is out of print. And if you're a Doctor Who fan or you're a Next Generation fan, this was a blast. I believe I talked about it way back when it first came out because I picked it up and I probably sold it, but I'm glad I picked up this graphic novel. Again, if your hand is blinking and you got the little red flower that's looking at you, you're right. I'm on my last day in Florida. We went to a place called Sammy J's, which is just another small diner. All they do is breakfast and lunch. They're closed by 2 o'clock. And I had breakfast, which was great. License plates on the wall, lots of Minnesota plates. So that was kind of fun. Before we left, my dad took us up to a place on one of the inlets where manatees hang out. And, this time of year, the water's cold, wavy, so they just kind of wallow in. And, oh, the humanities, Corey. It was awesome. I even got a picture of one of them. I yelled down and said, okay, which one of you know CNR? And one surfaced and gurgled at me. So after that, Chris and I hit the road. We took the A1A down as far as we could. And then about halfway down, we decided, you know what? I think we should. We did stop at a place called Blowing Rock, which was, again, another, that's part of the nature preserve where they kept it, kind of keep it the way it is. They have a lot of problems with with saltwater invasions. So it's like all the mangoes have disappeared, but it's been replaced by other trees. The beach was beautiful. You're walking through trails where the vegetation goes over. We didn't see a lot of wildlife, a lot of really cool spiders out in the trees, but it was kind of our last walk. And then we decided, okay, we hopped on the 90 miles an hour. About a half hour later, got back to Fort Lauderdale. We wandered up and down after checking into our little place by the beach, wandered the Hollywood Beach boardwalk, which was just a mile or two of restaurants, you know, the tacky souvenirs, places to eat. We stopped at Margaritaville in Hollywood Beach, Florida. So I've been to Margaritaville in Key West, Las Vegas. Chris has been to the one in Miami, and we've been to the one at the Mega Mall. It was good, the Mega Mall one, but it was just, it didn't feel right. Mainly because it was like, I think 60 degrees below outside. But anyways, we got three down. And I don't know how many more to get. Had Margaritaville because I figure I can get sloshy drunk because I'm not driving. We're not actually flying till the next morning. I did have my key lime pie. So when I get to Florida, got to have key lime pie. It was delicious. And, of course, I had to brag to Corey that I had it because, you know, anytime I have pie and Corey doesn't, it's a good thing. I did not find any Bort personalized anything. Starfish candles, license plates, keychains. I was very disappointed. Actually, what I was really disappointed, they had no Dana. I mean, lots of hollies. So Chris did find
some wolves.
Yeah, Chris did find some fun stuff for them at the flea market I mentioned, but she didn't really talk much about it. I don't want to talk about it in case they are listening. The flight home again. It was an early flight. We dropped the car off through security and Snap. We get there. We're at least 2 hours early for our flight. We tried to get on an earlier flight, but they were all full, you know, because I thought we could either go through whatever, just to get home early. But Southwest lady tried, but there would have been issues trying to catch the luggage and everything. I was a little worried because on the way home, we flew to Denver and then to Minneapolis. Well, Denver was under a winter storm advisory at the time. I was concerned, but not too worried because Denver, they deal with snow like we do very well. And by the time we got there, it was nothing. Just an extra half hour to de-ice the plane, and we're on our air. I was able to, again, the flight from Fort Lauderdale to Denver, the Wi-Fi wasn't working. The Wi-Fi is weird because it's not true Wi-Fi. You can't just browse the internet unless you want to pay $8. But, and I would have because it was like a 4 hour flight. But I couldn't get the movies going. I couldn't get the music on. When they finally did get the Wi-Fi going, couldn't get movies to work. There was nothing on the television. I could play like one or two songs on their version of whatever, and then it would freeze. I'd have to reload. I can't read on a plane. It gives me a massive headache. There was nothing but cloud cover to look at. I think I slept. You know, you get that dry mouth from on an airplane. Didn't get coronavirus, though, because I didn't drink any Corona on the trip. And the second trip from Denver to Minneapolis, the Wi-Fi was working, and I got to finish Shazam. And it started right where I left off. So I didn't have to, like, fast forward and figure it out. So I got to watch it all. I enjoyed the movie a lot. I thought it was a blast. It was a good mix compared to some of the other things we've seen in the DC Cinematic Universe. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. Okay, you mentioned, you've seen the movie, Corey? What was your views?
Yes, I have. I love it. I thought it was fun. I do have a problem with them. Here's the Shazam family. Boom. When they really didn't have anything to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than the, you know, we're going to start a fight and maybe whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that follows along more what they're trying to do in the comic book, which I didn't necessarily enjoy because I kind of dropped buying it mainly because it never came out. I did like I thought it was a face cameo. It was just a body cameo. Is this part we throw up spoilers for a movie that's a year old?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, cause at the end, you know, he comes out and, you know, if you view the scene movie, you know, but, you know, he brings a friend on that I had known was coming. And was it Henry Cavill or was it just a guy in a Superman suit? I didn't see him in the credits.
Just a guy in a Superman suit.
Because I thought he, what was it he appeared in that they had to digitalize out his mustache? Or was that Justice League? Oh, okay. See, and I, okay, never mind. A couple after egg. I think there was one at the very end and then a setup for the next movie. I liked that, this version of Dr. How do you say his name? Savannah?
Yes.
And because he's deadly serious, whereas, you know, he's basically, I think he's getting to realize he's fighting a bunch of kids. He's getting his ass kicked. So I hope there are another ones on the way. It should be interesting. Isn't The Rock supposed to be Black Adam in one of these?
Yes. That,
okay, so it's coming. Okay, it's coming. Just got to relax. But I want it now. Not really enough time to watch any other movie because Denver to Minneapolis is like 2 hours, a little bit less. I started watching Godzilla, the last one, just because, well, I have it on Blu-ray. But yeah, just watched enough and then, oh, we're landing. Okay, whatever. Then I was home, just in time to celebrate my birthday, which I'll talk a little bit more in freaking and geeking. But I think Shazam, I definitely going to have to pull out my DVD and watch it because it's fine watching on the little screen. But I know I missed little bits of personalization and probably some of the details. Oh, well. And now I'm back.
We have mail.
We do. Boy, I should read it often.
We get letters. We get lots and lots of letters. Letters. Let's see here. Travis is sending us notes from old episodes.
Good man, that Travis.
Episode 115, Corey heroically saves the residents from a horrible death and a staff's fear. That was one where I was working an overnight shift and the oven started spewing out sparks and flames. And the staff who I was working with was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I went and just killed the power for it.
Yeah.
And he also, in a separate email, sent in an Ask the Strode.
Ooh.
And I forwarded it to you, but you, you know.
Well, I know the answer. I was going to give him the answer, but I didn't want to take away your, how would you say, huspa. Because he didn't ask me.
No. Okay, so, did Kiss really drip their own blood in a vat of ink destined to paint one of their comic books?
And the answer?
Steve Gerber, who was involved in this, he wrote the first one. Yes, but not the way you think.
Uh-huh.
They actually had medical professionals show up and draw the blood the way you're supposed to, and then put it in the ink to mix it for the gimmick. But they also did a photo shoot, which had them with fake cuts on their arms, showing them bleeding onto the printing presses and stuff. And the thing about the whole Kiss comic was nobody at Marvel, other than Steve Gerber and a couple other people, were into it. They didn't think it would sell. They didn't think anybody would care. Basically, it's like, you know, we this rock and roll stuff, rock and roll comics, no one cares. Nobody cares at all. So Steve was kind of left to do it on his own. They thought it would be a huge financial disaster. When it sold, David Kraft was able to pitch the Beatles story. And he got a young George Perez to draw it. And the sales were huge again. And, oh, well, people like this rock and roll stuff. The Beatles were popular. Hey, look, there's this rock and roll movie coming out called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And once again, they put it together. I think George Perez drew it. And the movie tanked hard. So they just never released that in the U.S. I actually now have a copy.
Do you really?
It was released overseas.
I've seen French copies for like about $100 on the eBays.
I was able to get a French copy at one of our conventions back in the late 90s.
Amazing. I would love to look at that. I mean, just show it to me. I don't just because I actually thought about getting it, but the ones they had were CGC'd. And if I get it, I want to look at it. I don't want it to be a something I can't physically touch.
And Marvel, reprint the Beatles story. Reprint that. It was great. It had George Perez art. It was like an 80-page comic story. I don't know if it was authorized by the Beatles or not, but I do know that Paul McCartney kind of hung out at the Marvel offices a few times in the 70s. So, yeah, Marvel, reprint that. You know, it's not like it's not like anybody else owns it. You own a Beatles graphic novel with art by George Perez. You know who doesn't own a Beatles graphic novel with art by George Perez?
Well, I would be too sure.
No, it's these guys, our sponsors. This show has sponsors, and those sponsors are our best friends. They can be your best friends, too. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, DreamHost.com is the host you need to go to. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Just go to DreamHost.com. Do you need healthy snacks? You probably do. We all do. How would you like them where they show up without you even having to order them, where you just get a subscription, they show up so that when you've run out, they show up again? Graze.com has great healthy snacks, and you get a free box if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's CORYS3R5P. Your first box and your fifth box are free. If you're listening to this show, you're one of the smartest people in the whole known universe, and you're probably fed up with paying too much for razors. So join Dollar Shave Club. They deliver great blades every month for just a few bucks. No more schlepping to the drugstore, no more overpriced, ridiculous shave tech that you don't need. Razor plans start at just $3 a month. Check it out and let us know what you think. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or the Solitaire Rose podcast, we'd love it. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. You can also send us emails there. We love to get them. We love to read them. And most of the time, we can build a whole show around a three-line email. So go ahead and email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call or leave a message that we will play on the air at 952-856-0519. Thanks. And I keep very, very busy, Joe. That's why I was.
I know.
I'm glad that I didn't have to say much of anything on this episode.
Well, sometimes I do deliver.
Because I got to do all of these. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network has all sorts of podcasts for you. There's, of course, Crazy Comics and Stories, where myself and Crazy Joe Ryder get together once a week to talk comics. We review comics, we talk about upcoming comics, we talk about comics history. Anything that has to do with comics, we're going to talk about. We also have Series in Review, where we review series and kind of give a DVD commentary of past comics that we've enjoyed. There is also Solitaire Rose Radio. Solitaire Rose Radio is my solo show where I discuss upcoming comics, past comics, comics history, and interview comics creators. These are all at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. There's also the podcast I'm proudest of. That's Novelcast, where I take the novels that I have written and turn them into audiobooks. That's at novels.solitairerose.com. Over at Bad Advice, myself, Dan Moore, and Wolfie B. Bad take your questions and give you bad advice. It's at badadvice.solitairerose.com. Now, don't think that I'm doing all the podcasts, because there's also Scrabbling Across the West by Dave Coffell and Stephanie Coffell. Dave is a musician and Stephanie is his wife. They travel the country performing music and playing Scrabble over at scrabbling.solitairerose.com. And finally, the newest member of the Solitaire Rose Radio Group, that's Fantastic Forecast, where myself and host of For the Love of Comics, Adam Vermillion, go over the series The Fantastic Four, four issues at a time. That's available at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com. If you would like to advertise on any of these podcasts, you can. Just email me at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. And now we get to Joe's favorite part of the show. No, not where he sings the song Margaritaville after inhaling a helium balloon.
Away again. Oh, I suppose I better not.
No, it's Joe. What's going on the eBays?
Should I tell you more about my missing pocket watch? Matter of fact, we could call this Watch Watch.
Sure.
Found it.
Oh, where was it?
It was in Chris's pocket. Unfortunately, she found it after it had gone through the washing machine. Oddly enough,
Timex does not take a licking and keep on ticking.
It is still ticking. However, the mechanism to change the time and press a little button so it glows and lights up is missing. So it'll be right probably never, because it says right now it's like 5 o'clock. It doesn't have an AM PM, but I'm kind of bummed about that, because I really, really like the watch. And I'm thinking of just sending it into Timex to say, you know, hey, this thing's brilliant, over 20 years old, and it's still chugging away. I have a Timex watch, my first watch as a kid, which was a wind-up watch that still functions. I don't have the casing or anything, but I have just the works. And if you hold it upright and you wind it up gently, it'll work. I mean, it's amazing. But, however, there is a happy ending to Watch Watch. We'll get to that one. My last freaking is...
These aren't freakings. This is your damn eBay.
Oh, you want to know eBay?
Sure.
I was just freaking. Screw eBay. You know what? I'll tell you what's going on in eBay. People are buying those Dynamite magazines like crazy. If you have any interest in any of them, get over there and lay claim, because I don't think they're going to last too long. And I've sold a couple other... just weird things. Corey, do you remember the book Wolf and Bird, Counselor of the Macabre?
Yes.
I had a legal pad from them. I must have got it at a Capital City show. It's not big. It's just a little tiny legal pad, and it's yellow, of course, and it's got their logo on the bottom, and with art from Bat and Lash. And I don't know how, it was about 8x5 inches, and I used it, but I had about 13 sheets left. So I ended up selling that, because you know me, I like to sell everything. I also sold a promo cover print from another book called Cinnamon by M. Gerald Delaney. This book is back in 1995, and basically she's probably part of the bad girl craze. I don't recall reading the book, but you know, you can buy them on the eBay, it's pretty cheap. This was just a promo print of the cover, no logo, no nothing else, about 11 inches by 7 1/4. So other fun things are selling. I've got some fun things coming up that will go on the eBays. Corey, have you heard of Red Wolf?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell the folks about Red Wolf.
Well, Red Wolf started as a Western hero. He was a Basically, he was a Native American, and then when that didn't sell, they made him into a modern superhero, and then when that didn't sell, it got canceled, and he has shown up incredibly rarely in the Marvel Universe. I believe he got a series that became a miniseries a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember buying it. I think I read it and eBayed it, so... Shows how dedicated I is. Well, I've got a couple of those up on eBay, just fresh, so they might still be there. Corey, have you heard of the all-new House of Yang?
Yes, wasn't that from Carlton?
You are correct.
It was really bad kung fu comic.
Oh, yes. And there's two versions. You got the original from 75, and then they had the second print with the modern comics reprint on it. And I've got a few of them up. How about Trog and the Sky Gods?
That was from, I believe, it was either Gold Key. Yeah, it must have been Gold Key. And it's, I can only remember it had painted covers. I never read any of them.
Well, looking at the art other than the Twinkie ad, you probably wouldn't. Let's see. Alien scientists shown strange rays upon cavemen, resulting in a new race of men. The first of these was Trog, T-R-A-G-G, Trag, a brave leader and hero of the series. Aliens were sky gods since they appeared out of the sky in golden spheres. Let's see. Started in 75, and it was both Gold Key and Whitman, so there are variants on both. The Whitman variants look to be a little rarer because they didn't happen as much, but only 9 issues, and number 9 was a reprint. Don Glut and Spiegel did the art. I got an issue or two of those up. And Corey, have you heard of the Marvel 1993 annual report?
Yes, what it was, Marvel, when they were a public company, would put out their annual financial report as a comic book. And if you owned a share of Marvel, you would get the comic.
Yeah. And I actually found some digging through the flea market I was talking about earlier. Unfortunately, they're ones I have already. So you know what I do? I put some on the eBay. K-R-A-Y-Z. And just like I do for all my good podcast friends that are listening out there in listener land, you see anything you're interested in, send me an offer. Even if I don't have make an offer on it, you just send me an email via eBay. That's very important because with that, I can turn around and send you an offer. So if you say you decide you want to lowball me and get that Tom Beilin cover where Mary Jane is flipping off Mephistopheles from the Brand New Day series, I'll you undercut me. Yeah, see what I'll do. Yeah, be that way. Okay. I don't mind. It's not like I want to buy a $450 piece of glass wave art. You don't care. But for those of you who do, K-R-A-Y-Z, come get some.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I create an adventure with my Thanos copter bothering the Neil Gaiman death toy.
Ooh, brilliant.
No, it's freaking a geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, I already told you about my watch. The other thing I'm freaking on, and I have freaked on this before, I have a $250 worth of orders outstanding on Dynamic Forces. Dynamic Forces, of course, are the guys not only in the previews catalog, but they have their own website. They have variant covers. Sometimes they have first prints. They have their own unique things. They've been selling stuff like this for years. And I just, you know, I said, oh, cool. They got some deals going, some things. I place the orders and it sits. This stuff has been sitting since Black Friday. And I placed another order about a month ago. Their email and their customer service is non-existent. I send emails out. I use their system online. I said, hey, could you at least tell me what's going on? Is it sitting on a shelf? It says the process is complete. And then it says they're waiting for additional stock, which means, but 2 months? You guys pump new shit out every day with deals. And, you know, I'm not rich. I don't have $250 to just sit there and wait till you decide to get off your keister and fill my order. I don't even know what to do anymore because nobody answers their phone. Nobody returns their phone calls. I don't, you know, it's not always like this. Sometimes you order something and you get it right away. Sometimes you order things and it's like, okay, this is a pre-order. Sometimes their in-house artist, Ken Hauser, I think, you know, he's going to make it for you. Fine. But dudes, this is fucking ridiculous. I couldn't run a comic company this way if I couldn't deliver stuff. If it's out of stock, fine. They don't charge you until they ship. But that's not the point. The point is I got $250 in limbo until they decide to ship it. I could spend that $250 on something else. There are tons of omnibuses that I know for a fact I will get. There are stuff not only on in-stock trades, but in cheapgraphicnovels.com, on eBays, on Amazon. I'm ready to drop. Hell, I'm ready to drop $250 elsewhere on your website, but not if you're going to lock up my potential purchase forever. And on my birthday, makes me mad. I've had enough. Corey, what are you freaking on?
I wasn't prepared. Joe, what are you geeking on?
No, I'm podcasting. I gotta go later. But thanks for calling. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, Corey's probably freaking on something right now. He always has something weird to talk about. All right. Yeah, take care, hon. Bye. Oh, nice. Holly called.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Somebody likes it. Wait, what? What's going on? Where are we?
Joe, what are you geeking on?
Picard. But only the first episode. Because while I was, did we talk about this? They showed the first, they showed the first episode on the CBS YouTubes for free. And it was fun. I was reading some of the controversy, and again, I suppose another spoiler warning because not everybody like me saw it. I don't have CBS access, so that's about all I'm going to see. So throw that spoiler warning up. But people bitching about, oh, these are Romulans? Well, yeah. I mean, why? Think of all the different races we have as humans. You know, they finally got around to that with Klingons, where they can actually have the actor play a Klingon, regardless of skin tone. And sure, the only Romulans we've really dealt with other than Next Generation have been the really weird-shouldered military guys. But I thought in Nemesis it was apparent that there are two races on Romulus, the guys with the weird forehead and then the guys who look more like Vulcans. And the ones with the weird foreheads were the ones that were in power. That's who why can't I think of the guy in Nemesis, the villain?
Nemo.
Anyway, thank you. No, that was In the Darkness, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
That was the last Next Generation movie that nobody watched that was surprisingly good. Although
I thought it was Nemo. I don't know.
He was the bad guy from the reboot.
Okay.
Anyways, the idea was he wiped the bad guys out of power so his race could come to power. His only problem was he wanted to wipe out Earth at the same time. Blah, 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 yada, 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 whatever. I had no real problem with it because I sat down and, okay, we're coming up with familiar characters. I already know who's coming in the future. I was surprised by Brent Spiner's appearance because I genuinely thought it would be him or BB-8 or something, and I didn't expect it the way they did, and I thought it was brilliant. It tugged at the heartstrings. It tugged at the memory banks. And when I first saw the actors around Picard, I was like, oh, Vulcans. They're kind of jovial for Vulcans. They're not Vulcans. How about that? Fine by me. I don't have... See, this is what the balance these guys have to play with. They want to get people who are like, oh, I like Patrick Stewart. I like... I remember Star Trek a little bit about it. I want to watch this, but they don't want to get bogged down in the details that, this was Data. No, this is BB-8. Oh, and we have Lore, and then there's his mom running around and all these other clones and blah, blah, blah. No, that's minutia for geeks like
boys.
Yeah, and you could do it quite easily. When they open the drawer, you could have had like two other drawers above BB-8. One says Lore, one says Lar. That would be enough for me to go insane. But if you're not into such weird things, it wouldn't just right over your head. They didn't refer to any of that. I don't take it personally. I understand we need to get to the story. I am really, really geeking to get CBS access. I'm not yet. I probably will once all of Picard is out, assuming I don't lose it to any more spoilers. I haven't seen anything of Discovery. And Corey and I, we've talked about Discovery both, I think, on and off. And you really haven't spoiled anything, and I don't care if you do because I'm still going to watch it. But if you didn't care, I don't know if it's still there. It sounded like it was a limited time thing, but I really, really, really liked Picard. Corey, I know you like J. Michael Straczynski.
At times.
I should give you his book because you might get a new respect for this guy. I'm gonna.
Did he finish it?
Let's just say. when you like to make a running gag out of it, but when you read his story and what he's gone through, not only this but on all the other things, I'll give you one little for example. He was responsible for making the Real Ghostbusters animated series huge, too huge, because what happened was the network brass came down and they started to give notes. Like they wanted to make what's the female character? I want to say it was a Janet.
Janine.
Thank you. No wonder the name of my girlfriend who broke my heart. Oh, sharing too much. She was a strong Ghostbuster, strong woman character. The suits wanted to make her more of a soft mom character to stay behind and cook and take care of the guys. They wanted Slimer, who was played as, he was played as for laughs, but he's a dead person. He's a ghost. No, he has to be the fluffy dog character. If you remember the trope of the 80s and 70s cartoon where everybody had to have a dog to do something stupid, not Scooby-Doo stupid, but just like the ha 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 at the end of the episode. The following two seasons sank. And then when he came back for the fourth season, they brought him back. He restored it the way it was and it kind of went up. His story's a lot like that in different things. And some of it are things where he just decided, you know what? I'm comfortable writing comics. I did the Joe comics. I did the run on Thor. I did the run on Spider-Man. It's too comfortable for me as a writer. I'm just doing it because I can, not because I want to. So he would quit. Now what's he going to do? Maybe I'll do screenplays. You probably heard the little screenplay, the first one he did. I can't remember.
Ninja Assassin, if I remember right.
No, I'm talking when it actually got done.
No, Ninja Assassin got done.
Yeah, afterwards. No, I'm talking, it was, he sent it in just out of the blue. And you don't do that with screenplays. You don't just decide, yeah, I'll send this in and see what I get. And it was based on a true story that he kind of tugged at his brain.
Oh, was that and Changeling?
Yes.
Okay.
Sent it in out of the blue. Didn't hear anything, didn't expect to hear anything. And then he got a note back. Oh, Ron Howard wants to talk to you about it. Next day. Oh, Ron Howard's going to buy this from you. He wants to direct it. And Ron Howard couldn't, so he got, oh, yeah, we want Clint Eastwood to do it. And, this is in the book, but I'm just going to do it. Just read right for it. Because he went in to talk with Clint. And as their meeting drew to a close, Clint basically just looked out the window looking like he just didn't want to be there. Just squinting, looking at the opposite wall, Pylon's reference material. He asks where the story came from, how he stumbled upon it, and he details, I'm just reading this from Straczynski's words, and he details I left out that inform his approach as a director. As our meeting drew to a close, I asked Clint if he wanted any changes made to the script. After all, we were going off my original spec screenplay, and no first draft of a movie script ever goes into production unchanged. For the first time, Clint looked, turned and looked at me with the eyes I've seen in countless movies. And suddenly it was Clint fucking Eastwood. Do you feel lucky, punk? Well, do ya? Clint growled, do you know how many movies I've made? Sounding like a mouse addressing a very large cat that was trying to decide if I would taste better sautéed or pan-fried, I said, a lot. A lot. I've gotten more calls on this project from people I don't even know telling me not to screw this up than on anything else I've done. So the way I see it, my job isn't to change things. My job is to not screw it up. And the script was shot exactly as written. First draft, word for word. Unheard of. I know you did on him a lot for finishing things, and I defend him because a lot of times he does that because things have changed on him. He came in to say, I'm writing this, and then someone along came and said, no, I need you to do it this way. And he doesn't put up with that. When you read his backstory, and I'll talk to you a little bit off camera or off podcast about it because it's not my story to tell. You really got to read it in his world. I said, what the fuck? So many times. I sat up and said, holy fuck, out loud to the point where Chris like, what the hell? I've talked about books in the past that I read where Roddy Piper, Bob Backlund, where they've come from hard, tough, dirt poor circumstances, and they've crawled their way up to make themselves a success. I'm amazed Straczynski isn't, we're reading about him as a mass murderer. You want to read it, go find his book. Becoming Superman by J. Michael Straczynski was the only book I read the entire time. And there are, it's a blast because, you know, he name drops and he's talking about things he's done. It covers portions that I know a lot about, like when he wrote Babylon 5. Talks about things we've talked about on the show, such as the actor and brain fart who was on Babylon 5 who had to quit because he was hearing voices in his head and how J. Michael helped him. This is so brutally honest. I wouldn't know what to say to J. Michael Straczynski. You don't read something like this and go, oh, I enjoyed it. The way it was like the Joker movie. Oh, I enjoyed it. No, you're like Seinfeld making out in the back of Schindler's List. If you enjoyed it, it's not an enjoyable movie. It's interesting, thought provoking, and it should be seen. So yeah, if tell you what, did I ever give you Howard Stern's book? Or does my sister still have that?
Nope, I've got it.
Okay. When you're done with Howard, I'll give you a book, I'm in Superman. And again, we'll talk off camera because I think if you should read it, it's just, oh, that's all I want to say about that because I want to get on some positive things. No, not that Felix the Cat or Fritz the Cat is now on Netflix. So you can see about what was considered bad in the 70s, folks. Okay.
And what made Robert Crumb kill the character in the next comic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Corey, I don't know if it was you or our good buddy Nick, but one of you suggested a drive-in comic book shop where you like drive up, I hand you the order and you go.
That was Nick.
Okay, because over in St. Paul, and I don't know if I've ever taken you to it, the Dariette drive-in is up for sale.
I have been to the Dariette a few times. I love that place.
Oh, the last drive-in within city limits, 70 years old, it's up for sale.
And it's not burgers and fries.
Not just burgers and fries.
It's Italian food.
Oh, and banana shakes and meatball subs. Oh, just it's a fantastic place. I love going there because it's right across from the post office I drop my eBay stuff on. It's been on Danner's Drive-Ins and Dives. And in my opinion, for a mere $384,900, that's what the property is listed for.
The new hot comments.
Well, I figure between that and we could also have comics and ready to go. Let's call our old buddy Brad. He can come and cook for us. One of my daughter's boyfriend, he's a cook. We've got our chefs. I'm sure there's going to be some people hanging on. I think this could be it. We will get in Wikipedia for having this. I'm no longer worried about the Funko figures because did you see they're not doing so good?
No, I did not.
Yeah, they lost a lot of money. But they're coming out with more Funko figures. Finally, I mentioned it's my birthday. Last year, I'm not going to go into too much detail because last year I went to the Jason show, the show that I fell in love with while I was recovering from my hip that I refer to almost constantly. I went to his show again today, not only scoring one of his elusive mugs. Oh, by the way, if you ever happen to be in a pawn shop or thrift store or Goodwill and you see a mug that says the Jason show, oh, just buy it for me. Let me know. I don't care what it is. He's got 5 different season mugs. You have to do something special in order to get one. Last year, and I had my hip operated on, and one of my first outings in public, I went to the Jason show, and it happened to be my birthday. And I don't know if Aaron Schwaberino, the audience, Aaron Schwab's her real name, felt pity on me. But I actually told her that, and I said, well, tell you what, in order to get a mug this year, I went, I got my other hip fixed. This is what's on my first public outing, but it's my birthday again. So, oh, we'll get you a mug. If you go on your birthday, you get a mug. But I also did something that made me just happy. You know I am slowly trying to get rid of my stuff, you know, via the eBays and things like that. And what I was able to do is I found a piece in my collection that I gave to Jason. Jason is a big Dallas fan. And if for you old folks, you remember Dallas was like the bomb back in the it was in the 80s. Wasn't it early 80s?
Late 70s, early 80s, yeah.
A huge show. Larry Hagman was in it. Patrick
Duffy.
Yeah. Man from Atlantis, people. He's in the comics. And Larry Hagman is in I Dream of Jeannie comics. Just like if you want Kirk Douglas, who passed away, go find a Spartacus comic. I believe it's Dell Comics 11, in the 1140s somewhere.
So that's four color comics.
Everybody gets a comic. But Dallas was like a nighttime soap opera. Again, nobody was really sure, but it would go huge. It drove the nation insane because the main heel character, J.R. Ewing, played by Larry Hagman, got shot. And it shocked. I think that was the first major cliffhanger to go over directly into the next season because shows hadn't done that before. And, oh, the nation lost its mind. Even I was like, everybody's like, who could have shot J.R.? Everybody hated him. The whole episode built up beautifully how he pissed off everybody. Anyways, Jason Matheson of the Jason Show is a huge Dallas fan. He loves a story where he was on a jog when they revamped Dallas and he was doing one of those media things and who came up from behind him but Larry Hagman himself and took his hat off and put it on Jason. Jason thought he was going to die. And then he said, well, I reckon we better go get you a bit one that fits. And he got to go get an authentic hat that fit him. You know, he calls it his big melon. But I love Jason because he's a geek like us. He loves to drop Avenger trailers, Star Wars trailers. Oh, he does a podcast, My Fairy Godmothers, where him and his partner, his husband, talk about going to Disney World. And believe me, that's pretty much what he does all the time. So I found this little Hot Wheels, a little tiny majorette car, about Hot Wheels size, that has Dallas on it with all the cast and Hagman in his hat. It's a little tiny tanker truck that has Ewing oil on the side. I figure if anybody's going to like this, he is. And he's like a kid. So the show's over. We took pictures, blah, blah, blah. And Aaron, the show wrangler, goes, oh, somebody brought you something. He goes, oh, they did? And he's all excited. And I handed it to him, and he looked up, and he went, oh, my God! And I thought he was going to pass out. He was so genuinely thrilled to get it. He took a picture with me. I guess he posted it on Instagram. I don't do a lot of Instagram, so I haven't been able to find it. But he really loved it. He told me, this is one piece I don't have in my collection. Thank you. Happy birthday. Shook my hand. I tell you, I love doing that. I've done it in the past. I had an original ROM toy. And when I heard that Brent Moore, who one of these times we're going to get on our show here, he had a comic store down in Apple Valley. He really wanted it. So I contacted his wife and said, you know, I know this is like a $300 toy. I'll cut you a deal on it for $100, which was like way beyond what I paid for it. But Brent got it and sent me a note. Oh my God, where did you get this? How did you know? Thank you. Again, in the Hot Wheel theme, my brother-in-law works for Ecolab. And somewhere along the line, I picked up this little tiny Ecolab truck that they'd given away to employees and then later just sold out. And I gave it to him and he said, oh my God, this is so cool. Last Christmas when I went to visit, he has it in his wall of fame, which I'm pretty sure this, the most of it is Green Bay. So for me to actually have him put something in there was pretty cool. And I'm hoping this Vince Lombardi book, well, I don't know if it'll make it or not. But so I love that. If I can't sell it on eBay, if I can give it away to someone who genuinely appreciates it, that's half the battle. And that's a lot of geeking for me. Corey, what are you geeking on?
It's been crazy at work, so I haven't had a whole lot of time, but I have been enjoying a lot of public domain pulps. Out on the interwebs, you could go to the internet, the Wayback Machine and the internet, all these websites that have public domain stuff. And it's okay, I'm stuck here at work for 4 hours. The clients are watching a marathon of Law and Order SVU, and yeah, I don't need to watch that. So instead, it's like, okay, G8 and his Battle Aces. I also have kept in my go bag Final Fantasy Ultimania Archive from Dark Horse. This is volume one, so it's all the art that was created for Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 by Yoshiko Amano. Joe, you may know him because he's the one who did the Sandman graphic novel.
Oh yeah,
first hardcover graphic novel.
Awesome.
But it has some information on the background of the games, but it's mostly just Ashita's art, and oh my God, it's beautiful, just beautiful behind the scenes stuff. They show all the different sprites and everything, but they also show his design for all the monsters, his designs for the characters. It's basically a coffee table book, but if you are someone who's into Final Fantasy like I am, the art, just for the art, it's well worth it. I actually saw that they have this one and the second one at Target.
Oh, really?
So good for Dark Horse getting them out there. And the other thing, I did have Box Day over the weekend, and the only thing I really had time to read was Zap number 16.
Oh, I got my Box Day too, and I haven't read nothing. Nothing!
I guess this, they had the big deluxe box set of Zap. This was the unpublished issue. It's more like a trade paperback. It's nice and thick. I think it's like 60 to 80 pages long. Quite a few jam pieces. One of the things about Zap that I always enjoyed were the jam pieces, where all of the Zap artists kind of, they draw characters in panels, and you know, who knows how long it takes them to put this thing together. But you get a Wonder Warthog story, you get a bunch of Crumb art, you get some really nice stuff from Paul Mavridis.
Is this all new?
Yes.
Oh, I love Wonder Warthog.
It's probably the final Wonder Warthog story. A great story about bikers from Spain, because Spain always did stories about bikers. But just looking through it and knowing, okay, this is the last issue by this group of underground artists that were basically, these were the top guys. Just a joy to look through.
Do you have all of Zap?
Yes.
So that, other than how cool it looks and, you know, would be a cornerstone of your omnibus collection, there's no reason for you to get the hardcover.
Oh, there's no way I could get it. Now, the hardcover reprints everything, plus cajillions. You know, you saw it at Dreamhaven.
Yeah.
It's like a 6 or 7 book hardcover takes up a shelf thing.
And what was the price on that bad boy?
$500.
Yeah, I think I want my wave art.
I also got the newest Conan Omnibus, Volume 3. I cracked it and started looking through it, but I haven't started reading it because you've got some Howard Chaykin art, you've got some Gil Kane art, and you've got John Buscema art, where John Buscema, inked by Ernie Chan. Oh, that's the mainline stuff, man. That's where Buscema was drawing stuff he loved to draw, and Ernie Chan adored Buscema's art, so his inking is very reverential. Doesn't take any shortcuts. Ah, this is the good stuff. So this weekend is really nuts. I'm going to be working at the group home pretty much all but about like 5 or 6 hours. So the weekend after that, I have off. And then the last 4 days of February, I took off. I'm going to have, it's not going to be a staycation. It's going to be a Minneapolis vacation where I'm going to do touristy stuff around Minneapolis those 4 days. Not even going to take overnight shifts at the group home. I lied to them and said I would be out of town. Because if I don't say that, they will bother me and bother me and bother me and bother me. I got 3 calls during the Super Bowl asking me to come in. I got a, right after you said, let's record tonight, got a message. Can you come in from 6 to 10 tonight before your overnight shift? Yeah. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to Joe blather on about his vacation for an hour and a half.
And I didn't even bitch I got to go back to work next week because I know I got zero sympathy from my wife who went to work right away and probably less than zero from Corey.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better in the comic that you like the most, Joe.
You know, I've been told my psychiatrist, I told him I've been hearing voices, and he told me I don't have a psychiatrist. Corey, hit my music.
Joe hears voices in his head. They talk to him. They call him Fred.
Hey!
They talk
to him. Yabba dabba doo! Funk is on a roll. Funk
is on a roll. Hey, 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 yo! Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here. Don't say ow! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Done, bitches!